Welcome to Defining Moments, the story of the 1972 Miami Dolphins. I'm Hank Goldberg, and today we're honored to be joined by Hall of Famer Paul Warfield, still in my mind, as great a receiver who ever played the game. And I'm sure you're always asked this, Paul, how you would have enjoyed playing with today's rules.
I've got mixed emotions about that, Hank. Yeah, you like the liberalness of the ruling with only allows one bump. But I think that to make it competitive, I wouldn't want to take all the advantages away from defensive backs. And the only thing that I'd like to see is that, yeah, you play more man-for-man coverages, but allow defensive backs the freedom to bump, shove, push any place on the field. After all, there is a direct advantage for receivers because we know where we're going, and defenders have to react to what they see. So I wouldn't want to restrict them and put their hands behind their back too much.
You know, when I interviewed Bob Greasy for this series, I asked him about the two important people in his life who affected his career when they came here in 1970, you and Don Shula. And of course, Shula was the guy who drove everything. But he talked about you and the influence that you had on him when you came in here, because he talked about how you understood defenses and the different kinds of coverages that you were going to face, and how you and he worked against empty backfields after practice, and how you showed him what you were going to be facing. And I'm sure you recall those days.
Yes, and, a relationship between a quarterback and a receiver is a very, very close one. And it has to be built. There's trust that must go into that relationship. There's certainly the orchestration of timing. It's a lot of hard work, but the results can be very, very satisfying. And Bob was a young quarterback at the time that I came down. I had a little bit more experience than he. I came out of the Cleveland system where those ideas and concepts in terms of breaking down coverages and taking advantage of coverages from a technical standpoint, but beyond a technical standpoint, I would go to the individual personalities who would play coverages, and having all of that information, knowing exactly where Bob and I want to go during the course of a ball game, throwing the football in what situation against what personality, because different personalities play coverages a little bit differently.
You must have spent a good amount of time, as Bob told me, not only in the afternoons that you spent on the practice field, but you were roommates and you would review them at night, before you'd go to sleep.
Well, you got to talk. There comes a period in which you talk about things that you think that you can do. Then you go into the classroom setting, which is really the projector room, and watching in those days film, it's now tape, and seeing these things play out. Then the next point is going out to the practice field and then rehearsing them in a situation that you anticipate that you're going to get, and then going over it and over and over it with the repetition, and then the testing time occurs on the day of the ball game. And having the discipline the confidence to enact all of that that you had prepared for, and the preparation would always lead to success. And there was a lot of hard work, but when you had the great success, it was a lot of fun and very rewarding and very fulfilling. And having the opportunity to work with a good throwing young quarterback like Bob Greasy, who was receptive to those ideas, once we talked about them, it made a big difference, certainly, in what we were able to do on the field.
You know, there are people today who look back at Bob's statistics and they wonder why he's in the Hall of Fame, because his statistics aren't that gaudy compared with a lot of other quarterbacks, because the Dolphins didn't throw the ball that much. but Bob was a very skilled athlete and a very skilled quarterback.
A very skilled quarterback who had excellent accuracy, a very quick arm, and could get get you the ball where you wanted the ball, which is very, very important. And let me just say that if statistics were the difference, then perhaps a lot of ball clubs would have greater wins. But it's, I think, the team aspect of play, which includes making sacrifices, and Bob was willing to make a sacrifice to win ball games. And, you know, I once heard him comment about pay structure in the National Football League and incentives being placed in contracts. And while certainly there could be a position in which one would say, well, incentive-laced contracts would be a positive thing. It's not that Bob viewed that as a negative concept, but he took it into perspective. And one of the things that he did not want in his contract was an incentive that featured his throwing touchdown passes, and mainly because he always wanted to come up with, in his mind, was the right play to be called. So, for example, if you're on the 20-yard line, better known as the red zone, going down into end zone, Bob did not want an incentive-laced contract because at that point, certainly in the ball game, he wanted to be thinking about the best play to be called from the 20-yard line going in, whether it was run or pass, whatever the situation dictated for. And if he had an incentive-based contract, in his mind, he always thought that, well, there would always be a possibility that, well, if I throw a touchdown pass in this instance, well, then there's going to be, you know, more money on the table. But he did not want that concept to enter into his mind because he was clear and free of that because he had no incentive tied into his contract with regard to touchdown passes.
You know, it was like Nick talking about the team this past weekend and the usual passion that Nick addressed things about how somebody always came up and made the big play. You could always depend on, you know, different people would contribute in different games during a perfect season, and that was the epitome of the team concept.
Well, there's so many analogies that you can look at this ball club of over 40 years now. When we started out together, team concept, you know, a team that was an expansion team in 1966 out of the old American Football League changed its image forever, which was from 66 to 70, losing at its at its greatest level. And what an expansion team goes through, bringing in a new young coach who had a reputation in the old established league as a winner, the then Miami Dolphins then changing its image to become a team that learned to win, and once this winning trend started, took it to its highest level. And, you know, I even learned things this past weekend about our team that I didn't know. I certainly knew about our wonderful record for 2 years, but when you started breaking it down over a five-year period, the Dolphins won more games during that era than any team in the history, with best won or loss record, that three Super Bowl appearances in a row, two winning. And from a defensive standpoint, there's some statistical information that goes along with, you know, having two 1,000-yard rushes offensively, that best defense with fewest points allowed. And so, yes, when you talk about great teams, I'm beginning to appreciate that team even more. But it's the players who came together who wanted to become more than just be recognized as losers, I guess, and wanting to become the very best team and reaching those goals.
We're talking with the great Paul Warfield. And, Paul, I've learned something this year that I didn't know either in talking with two Hall of Famers, you and Larry Little. Larry told me that he wasn't that happy to come here because he was playing with a great team in San Diego when he was traded here. And talking with you, I had forgotten that you played with a team that was playing, was one game away from the Super Bowl in Cleveland the year before you came here.
Well, I wasn't particularly happy about the trade either. comment on it, Hank. I grew up in Northeast Ohio. Cleveland Browns were my favorite team as a youngster, and I went to Ohio State University, and, you know, lo and behold, in 1964, I was drafted by the Browns. And so, you know, it was like a dream come true. When I joined the Browns, the great Jim Brown was still there. It was a team that was a contending team, one of the best teams in the old National Football League. My first year, I played for an NFL championship team as the Cleveland Browns beat the Baltimore Colts. My career, I'd spent the first 6 years there, and things were going wonderfully, and then all of a sudden I learned one cold morning in January that I'm traded to the Miami Dolphins, and just several months earlier I'd read an article on the Dolphins and Sports Illustrated that they were the worst team in pro football. So it wasn't a very pleasant prospect that I would be going from best to worst. And so, however, as things turned out, it turned out to be one of the best things that happened to me in my professional football career, that period of time in Miami, and playing with a team that has had historic significance with an undefeated season in the annals of pro football.
Paul, did you see it coming together very quickly once you got here?
Well, the first few days that I was around, Hank, I looked around and I said, oh, my God, this is worse than I thought it was. You know, when you would look at the, you know, quality of players and when I began to compare overall to what Cleveland had. But, again, it was very rewarding to see what Don Shula was able to mold almost overnight. I mean, when I think about what happened and, you know, all of these teams, and I'm sort of getting a little bit distracted right here, but all of these teams trying to win today in pro football, I mean, you would think that Don Shula would be the ideal consultant that they would talk to every time, because he took a team that in its first 4 years of existence from 66 until 1970 that had never won more than four games in any of those four seasons, total games. And the first year that Shula came to Miami, and I was a part of that as well as all the rest of those seasons, we won 10 games and lost four and made it to the playoffs as a wild card team. The following year, we win our divisional title and beat our arch rival, the Baltimore Colts, in the AFC title game and go to the Super Bowl. The third year, we're undefeated and win a Super Bowl. The fourth year, we go back to win back-to-back Super Bowls. And so if I'm a team in the National Football League, well, if I'm not, well, I couldn't be a team, but if I'm an owner in the National Football League, I tell my personnel people, I tell my executive people, I want to talk to Don Shula, because here was a guy who made it happen overnight. And all of the teams now who are trying to get to that grand prize of the Super Bowl, at least they want to consult with him to find out how he did it, how he put it together, and how he made those things fly.
It was a remarkable time, Paul.
It certainly was.
Paul, it's remarkable having the chance to talk with you always, and it was a great weekend last week to see all you guys together again. The bond and respect and love that you guys have for each other was so apparent at those events that occurred last week, and it was just a joy to be a part of it with you.
Well, it was, you're exactly right, Hank. It was a great week. All of the people that I was associated with the Dolphin organization, my teammates, and all of us. But it was great seeing people like yourself, Henry Barrow, and all of those individuals who were telling the great sports fans of South Florida about that team on a weekly basis in the media, and you guys played a great role in helping develop that camaraderie with our great, great fan base that was there in South Florida, and it's so good to see you too.
Paul, all the best to you. Continue good health, and I hope I'll see you again soon.
Same to you, Hank, and it's great to be on your program again.
Thank you. Another defining moment, the story of the 1972 Miami Dolphins. I'm Hank Goldberg, and today, what a thrill to be joined by the great Hall of Famer, Paul Warfield. You'll never see a greater, better receiver than Paul.